We're talking about a very interesting topic today, the freedom to be an entrepreneur in medicine, especially in an environment where the regulatory hurdles and obstacles that entrepreneurs in medicine face are always increasing. Today, we have Dr. Joseph Russo, a plastic surgeon in Newton, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston, who has a very strong entrepreneurial drive. He has built an enterprise with a variety of revenue streams very successfully in this more difficult regulatory environment. And he's going to share with us how he's been able to do that. And we also have Dr. Kuzma, who has created a way for people to simplify their practice and while maintaining compliance, and but also has given people the tool, plastic surgeons the tool, to access these additional revenue streams and overcome these regulatory obstacles. My own background is as a founder and manager for a primary care practice with an adjacent urgent care center, and then law school and specialization in health law, and now I am practice leader for health law and regulatory affairs of a mid-sized 30-attorney law firm in Boston. And I also own a 3,000-square-foot 10-room med spa with my business partner, Dr. Russo. Some of the obstacles, the regulatory obstacles that entrepreneurial plastic surgeons face are things like facility licensure, prohibition of corporate practice of medicine, which creates restrictions on where you can get capital to grow your enterprise. Things like fee splitting, you know, being careful about what services you can use to attract patients and to get referrals from patients. Being able to use telehealth regulations, the proliferation of new telehealth regulations to access off-site revenue streams where the physician is not on-site. And also to reduce the liability from a compliance standpoint, but also the liability from a tort standpoint. So how you can use technology to, as you increase and grow your business and grow these different revenue streams into really an enterprise, as Dr. Russo has done, how do you keep these potential liabilities in check? And for those of you who are covered entities, meaning that you deal with insurance, there's also the HIPAA component. So how do you maintain HIPAA compliance when you're expanding your enterprise and your revenue streams? Another issue is patient practice relationship. How do you maintain that patient practice relationship also as you scale your practice and you scale your operations, especially when talking about offsite locations? So we have Dr. Joe Russo. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you've created up in Massachusetts?
Sure, and thank you for the opportunity to help educate our colleagues. As we looked around our environment, we found that there were lots of entities getting involved with what people commonly call or refer to as a med spa. And we noticed that this is a phenomenon that was increasing at light speed. And as we looked into, you know, becoming involved in this industry, we discovered that there were really a lot of regulatory hurdles to overcome. One of the most challenging was that the Board of Registration in Nursing got very specific in terms of what nurses can and cannot do. And one of the things that was very explicit, and I think this is true pretty much everywhere, is that nurses really can't treat a patient without a doctor's order. I know a lot of the entities that we looked at, that just wasn't happening. And a lot of the nurses in our area were practicing medicine without a license. And this really gave pause to a lot of us. And there were cases in our state where malpractice insurers were having the right to not cover these nurses and the physicians who were involved with them because they were operating outside of the regulatory environment. They were, in effect, out of compliance. So in our state, as I think it is in most states, the nurse has to have a doctor's order. The order has to be real-time, patient-specific, time-specific, date-specific, dose-specific, you know, area-specific. So it has to be a real-time order. It can't be a standing order. So that was a, you know, a big hurdle, because if you have a number of med spots, how can you be in many places at one time? And how can you be writing letters on patients that you haven't even really seen? So this was a big hurdle.
This is true even in terms of the plastic surgery practice where the physician is on site. Even there, there have to be orders.
That's absolutely true. I mean, just because you're there, if you don't see the patient or have anything to do with the patient and the nurse treats the patient, that really puts both the doctor and the nurse in a very precarious position. So we had that really big hurdle to overcome. In addition, as I mentioned, the malpractice carriers in our state were onto this and were, you know, reserving the right to not cover people in individual cases where they were operating outside of the law, which, you know, seems 100% reasonable. In addition, any medical service in our state had to be delivered by an entity that was 100% owned and operated by a physician. So if a physician wasn't 100% in control of that, again, they were out of compliance. So faced with these and many other hurdles, we sought on a journey to try to find a way of bridging this gap, and we did. We have a system in place now that is 100% compliant. It has been run by the Board of Registration in Nursing, the Board of Registration in Medicine, the Board of Cosmetology, and the Department of Public Health, none of whom communicate with each other, which made this particularly difficult because we couldn't get anyone to give us anything real. All they would give us when we asked questions was they would just, you know, give us the laws that were stated. So we really had to do a lot of our own interpreting of this law and hire lawyers and you know, get involved with that. But in the end, they signed off on all of the things we do. In fact, we had one of members of the Board of Registration of Nursing actually posed as a normal patient and came in and you know, wanted a service. And after receiving the service, she let us know that she was in fact there kind of on a scouting mission. And she said that we, you know, completely passed the sniff test, so to speak, and were clearly compliant. So as a result of this, it's driven a lot of nurses and entrepreneurs and the people interested in getting involved in the med spa business to our model, because we have figured out a way that not only physicians, plastic surgeons in particular, and Shashi was the one who sort of said to me one day as we were driving in his car, you know, we as plastic surgeons should own this. We are the ones who should be controlling and owning and regulating this because we have the most knowledge and are most qualified to do this. And I think he was absolutely right. And he'll speak to that later, I'm sure. But once we figured out a way of doing this, we created a system not only to deliver the services, but to allow plastic surgeons or other physicians to get into this in a compliant way. We have also created an entity that can deliver medical services to a med spa, again, that has to be 100% controlled and operated by a physician. In addition, we have a school, the Aesthetic Institute of Massachusetts, which trains providers on how to do these things, but also in the compliance piece. And this can be taken almost anywhere and modified based on the state laws of that particular state to create an additional revenue stream for any physician.
That's true, because the laws, the regulatory hurdles are pretty much to one degree or another the same in every state.
Yes. It took us several years to get to this level, and we're all, you know, obviously we want to create something that is essentially bulletproof, and based upon the conversations we've had, I believe we have. So I encourage physicians, plastic surgeons in particular, physicians in general, to kind of look at these kind of models, because if you're practicing outside of compliance, if you're not compliant, these boards are getting more and more onerous. I know in our state, one of the boards has hired 6 investigators. I mean, previously it was a complaint-based board where you had to, you know, someone had to complain about it before they would investigate. But now they're actively getting proactive and they're looking at medical practices. And I can tell you, the vast majority of the practices that I'm aware of are really non-compliant, and they're really at very significant risk for litigation.
That's absolutely true. In fact, what we were talking about before about internal procedures in a plastic surgery practice, in California, there was a case in Fresno where the Board of Medicine went into a plastic surgeon's practice, and because the plastic surgeon wasn't giving orders every time that a patient was seen, the plastic surgeon was brought up on charges for aiding and abetting the illegal practice of medicine, and both of the nurses were charged with the illegal practice of medicine.
It's happening. It's on the radar screen now. It's only going to get worse and more restrictive. So I think the sooner we jump on board with this, the better we'll all be.
Absolutely.
The one thing that made it possible, and in fact without it would be impossible, is Simplast. So by using Simplast, we have basically a telemedicine type of situation where the patient can be evaluated by a nurse. All the data is uploaded into Simplast, which is a real-time, cloud-based system that information all is seen by a nurse practitioner, and you have a dashboard of these women who sit there and look at the data and then analyze the data and then issue an order or not issue an order if that's appropriate. And so essentially they're giving an order based upon real data, real time. Every single one of those patients is accessible to me. That patient has to look like it's in my practice, the fact that patient is in my practice, because we're taking responsibility for that. So I can look at the data of any patient. I can look at an issue, a problem, a complication. I can communicate with that patient in a HIPAA compliant way. So that patient looks no different than any other patient that is physically sitting in front of me in my practice. So it kind of crosses all the T's and dots all the I's necessary for that to be a compliant system, because everything that I mentioned before about the orders being real time and date specific, time specific, area specific, et cetera, dose specific, are satisfied by this method. And, you know, Simplot simply has made it possible for us to do this.
For your school, how has Simplot been helpful there as well?
Very much so. So with our school, when we're training providers, we have something we call a model call, where we have a large base database of patients, and we put out a call for patients who want neurotoxin or fillers or whatever the situation might be. And patients come in. The school is staffed by nurses who are part of a group called MAA Math. That group is based in Simplot. So when a patient comes in, a model, for example, all of their data is entered into Simplot. The nurse practitioner looks at that information and then once again issues an order. So even in that degree, every single patient is registered. There's a record of everyone. It's recorded exactly how the procedure was performed, and it's either signed by me or a nurse practitioner, which is a physician extender. So it's enabled me to run my school in a compliant fashion as well.
So all of these patients are patients of your plastic surgery practice, MAA being your plastic surgery practice.
That's correct. And MAA is 100% owned and operated by me, which satisfies the rule. So my MAA, my group of network of nurses, can deliver medical services to any med spa. For example, like your med spa or any med spa, the person owning the med spa has really nothing to do with the delivery of the medical services, and they cannot have anything to do with the delivery of medical services. So all of the people who deliver the services are employees of my MAA. So that way, I'm running it, I'm overseeing it, I have 100% control of it, and it satisfies all the laws.
So you've been able to use Simplot to not only in your own practice, but you've also been able to use it to expand your nurse network offsite and been able to create the necessary supervision with this dashboard of nurses. Have you been able to do anything to reduce your liability, not only your compliance liability, but even your tort liability by using Simplot?
Yeah, so our malpractice insurers, who are really reluctant to cover us, or most physicians, for quote-unquote being a medical director, which is a term that they don't really recognize, once they recognize what we were doing, and as we explained it to them in great detail, they actually cut our malpractice premiums to a very, very low amount compared to what people were paying before to cover all of the nurses in our MAA network, which was an incredible boon to the nurses and for us as well, because they recognized that this was really a game changer. In addition, if I could just talk about my own practice for a minute, I mean, all I really need to do is have my phone with me. I have my practice with me. So I can run every component of my practice from my phone. I can look up patient data. I can talk to patients. I can look at what cases I have the next day. I can go in and see what the patient's number is. I can call the patient. I can, whatever it is, I can look up everything through my phone and be almost anywhere and still run my practice. And that's given me the freedom to do that. And although, you know, like in any other software system, when you start it up, they're growing pains, and certainly there were some. But my staff is now completely switched over, and they love it, and they're much, much happy with it, and it's, you know, functioning very well. And it's getting better every single day. Shashi has dedicated the vision to make this the most unbelievable software package in the country to deliver these medical services. I mean, he's pretty much there. But I've been with him for a long time, really one of the first users. And I can just tell you that he's been very responsive to our needs and our questions, and the staff has gotten increasingly happy. But to be able to run my practice from my phone and to be anywhere, like right where I am in my office right now, has been a tremendous convenience for me.
So about how many people do you, how many providers in your practice are using Simplos?
All of them, everyone. So we have about 20 providers in my direct practice. And then in my network, we have about 150 nurses who are all using it.
Fantastic. So it's really given you the freedom not only to be an entrepreneur and to make entrepreneurial decisions for your enterprise, but it's also given you a lot more freedom in your life to live life as you want to.
It has. And I can tell you in my community, when other people, other spa owners, et cetera, have heard about this, they've come knocking at our door, begging us to let them be part of our system. I mean, listen, no one wants to go and break the law. No one wants to be out of compliance. No one wants to risk their medical license or anything like that, or the meds part of their family's future. So when people understand that there's an option out there that is compliant, that is easily managed from the palm of your hand, it's very attractive, and people come running to be under your umbrella.
Fantastic. Well, so we've heard about Simplos. We have the founder, the visionary who created this software with us. Dr. Kuzma, can you tell us a little bit about the software?
Surely, Marco. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And Dr. Russo, good to hear from you. Thank you for all the kind words. But at the end of the day, you know, this is it takes a village to build a system like this. It's not all me, obviously, but it's a group of employees, users, friends, colleagues that all contributed to building something that we all believe in, which is just to live a sensible life, a simple life, an economically viable life that gives us, we keep going back to that word called freedom, you know, and convenience and time and all the aspirations that we have in our life just to live a normal, simple, sensible life. So Simplest was founded on those very simple principles. I've always thought about physician-patient relationship and the mechanics of how that is delivered as a job that is fairly basic, which hasn't changed in centuries. It's just that relationship. And what I discovered long ago was that a lot of the reasons that human behavior falters or changes is because the processes and operations become more and more complex, and therefore rules become more complex, and there's too many middle layers of things that come in the way of that. And so, you know, as technology continue to improve, it seemed possible to create a system where you eliminate all the middlemen, middle processes that, you know, take away from that relationship, obviously. And compliance and HIPAA and security all go along the same way, because if you take a paper chart, for example, or some other system in a typical office, there's many, many places where that data or that information could come into trouble, where people have, you know, user behavior patterns that kind of break the proper flow of information. And the more people and the more chances there are to break it, and the more obstacles there are between the physician and the patient, the more likelihood there are issues of compliance, you know, such as giving orders, understanding orders properly, or even just storing and sharing and communicating data between entities. And so when you create a direct communication to the sacred relationship between a patient and a physician through a technology that is immediate, that is just in time, and that is actionable, I think at the end of the day, simplify life for everybody and simplify operations for everybody, where you gain the freedom that my good friend Dr. Russo talked about, to have the convenience and time and feel like you could manage a complex, you know, relatively complex system rather sensibly and simply.
Can you maybe give us a couple of examples, like how Simplos makes it easier for you to meet the regulatory burdens of compliance and even reduce your tort liability?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. In Florida, I actually carry no malpractice insurance at all because we're not required to, and it has helped us not be, you know, victims of these things. So I'm not going to speak about that too much, but I can certainly tell you how some of the practice patterns that I've developed has helped me be compliant. So let's just take the example of a patient consent. And a patient consent, you know, typically the 20-page document that has all kinds of, you know, legal language that nobody reads and nobody understands, but somebody signs it after saying, can you just sign here without thinking about it? Instead, using technology with your phone or whatever device that you use, we a lot of times record the consent via video. and now that becomes part of the patient record of note. And so video is incontrovertible proof of things, and that's why policemen wear the dash and video cams on their body armor, whatever else, and that's why video evidence, video depositions happen in legal situations. So that's one simple way. Another way is I frequently video document a lot of my procedures. So I explain what I do before I start. I record 30, 40 second clips of important aspects of the operation. I record at the end, and that also becomes part of the patient's, you know, kind of health record or patient record or whatever you want to call it. And also protects me from a liability perspective where I didn't have to do any extra work. I didn't have to create prose and poetry of languages that kind of do all of these things that we're used to for 100 years, but leveraging technology to do so. Many times communications happen with patients in various scenarios. Like my nurse talks to the patient, my medical assistant talks to the patient, my cosmetic coordinator talks to the patient, I do as well. And a lot of times, a lot of this is not recorded anywhere because it's an extra layer of work that has to be done. But instead, in Simplas, we use pretty much by default now, communication through Simplas, which essentially gives everybody access to all of the information they need to have a contextual conversation. And moreover, these communications are also automatically part of the health record. So that keeps the patient's information protected. That also keeps me protected and my office protected to, again, be under compliance, et cetera, or kind of avoid any legal issues in terms of privacy and whatnot.
Absolutely. I mean, this certainly lowers your liability in many areas because everything's documented. You know, in the legal world, they say if it's not documented, it didn't happen. So this is wonderful because if you have a plaintiff's lawyer who's sniffing around, you know, to have that level of documentation really stops them from even trying to sue you because they know that everything's so documented, everything's time-stamped, they would have a very difficult time bringing a claim. With this technology, how did you think about producing this this dashboard?
It's about being part of the business yourself that helps you really understand the pain points and the needs of customers. And it's about delivering those things because you also experience it and you have aspirations to be an entrepreneur yourself and also solve the problems that help solve other people's problems along the way. So it's about, you know, collaborating. It's about kind of talking to, you know, the customers. So in this case, you know, Dr. Russo and his team. And it's about talking to our team members who have to really understand this from a technology standpoint and working together collaboratively to build this where we say that, you know, if you have mobile technology, if you have real-time access to information, essentially, you have the capacity to do this real time. And so it seemed quite logical to build such a dashboard where, you know, you could monitor just like you'd monitor like airlines, so, you know, flights or whatever, the trains or whatever it might be. You have real time information. 5, 10, 15 years ago, it would have been really impossible or difficult to do so. But this day and age, It's rather facile to do this, you know, with ever increasing technology. And so, and moreover, you know, we as people have become incredibly mobile, you know, and the patients have become mobile. And so it's very much a changing landscape where patients want to have access to services at various times, at various points and whatnot. And therefore it empowers, you know, physicians to be more entrepreneurial and whatnot. And this dashboard mechanism allowed Dr. Russo and hopefully others who have such desires to be an entrepreneur to expand their business, you know, increase their revenue streams and at the same time decrease their liability by being more compliant through the use of technology. So,
well, I know that just from my own spa, because we have this this relationship with Dr. Russo, our plastic surgeon, and because of the teleconference aspect of Simplas, we are able to generate between 15 and 18 surgical consults for his practice every month from our med spa. So I think that that's definitely one of the benefits to a plastic surgeon in expanding to a med spa setup. So How have you dealt with the HIPAA aspect? You know, we always hear about these privacy breaches. How have you dealt with that aspect in terms of communicating, keeping that practice, patient communication very open and accessible?
Well, again, it's just breaking down the barriers of touch points and, you know, eliminating them essentially, so where you directly reach the patient securely. So through the use of mobile technology that is accessible anywhere in the world, you have a mechanism of delivering information and consuming information on the go that is all encrypted, that is all done with the data at rest, data in transit, data in storage. Aspects of how communication flows through modern kind of channels of the internet and essentially directly going to the patient. And so now when you have technology that facilitates all of this stuff, the need for additional user behavior that can lead to breaches in compliance or privacy or protection of data, I think it's vastly reduced. And then it makes it easier for everybody to be compliant. So like we talked about just a few minutes ago, all of the communication flows through this very secure network called Simplas that gives all users the ability to look at every piece of information, right wherever they are, and also transmit such information to the patients directly without any intervening obstacles. And so that has created a mechanism for us to protect our privacy, and it flows across the entire practice patterns that we have developed.
So and so when you're talking about the patient communication, you're talking about the patient app, right? The Simplas patient app.
That's correct. So yes, exactly. So the Simplas architecture is designed to have it's a family of apps that's based on the user type. So in this scenario, we have a very, very robust patient app that is, again, improving by the month, by the week, by the day, where the patient is able to access all of their information, exchange communications with all different types of users within the practice, et cetera. So every time a patient registers with the practice or becomes a prospect or a patient with the practice, we encourage them to get this compliant tool or this very easy to use mechanism of patient care through the Simplas patient app that allows us to be HIPAA compliant and protect their data, but yet have the freedom to be very free with their information that improves engagement, that vastly increases the trust between the patient and the doctor. There's a comfort and confidence that the doctor in the office is with them all the time. Education is vastly improved, therefore the compliance of the patients post-operative or post-procedural care is also much, much better, and we are hopefully going to come out with some valid and vindicative data that shows this in the near future. So yes, that's through our patient app mechanism.
So in Massachusetts, we have requirements for pre- and post-education of the patients. Dr. Russo, what are some of the ways that you've been able to use Simplas and this patient app to comply with those, but also to improve the patient care experience?
Sure. I mean, when a patient comes in, for example, to a pre-op and they get an hour's worth of information from the nurse and photos and markings, all kinds of things, they tend not to retain all that information. And many times you hand them something and they may read it, may not read it. Very, very sketchy. So we have found that by providing them with videos, they can look at those videos, and if they have questions, they can review the videos. And it seems as though that's a very efficient way of transmitting the information to the patient because they are hearing it as many times as they want to. And we also have instructional videos. We can, for example, show them how to take care of a drain or how to take care of a dressing or change a dressing, how to do a massage after breast augmentation so that they can actually see someone doing it the right way. And this reduces the likelihood that they'll do something incorrectly.
So you're saying that this increases the level of patient compliance with the post-care instructions?
It certainly does, and it also documents that the patient reviewed these instructions and watched it so that they can't say they were never told, they wasn't instructed, no one gave the right information, kind of eliminates that whole component.
A defense lawyer's dream, basically.
Yeah.
Excellent. So Dr. Kuzma, can you market to the patients through this app?
there's a lot you could do when you open up this channel of communication directly with the patient. And so one certain aspect of it is education, and another aspect is marketing, certainly, you know, where you could certainly, you know, promote additional services, upselling and cross-selling activities to patients that may be interested. You could also send them promos that you want to offer through vendor relationships or whatnot. You could do lots of different campaigns through this directly. As a matter of fact, saves a lot of marketing dollars, which doesn't have to be paid to a third party, essentially, where you're doing it directly from the office. Because in this scenario, a piece of content that you're creating, whether it's in the operating room, whether it's in the procedure room, whether it's in a consultation room, whether it's in the lobby or whatever, that automatically becomes part of the medical record. And that same content can be utilized in multiple different ways, sometimes, you know, for legal purposes and in sort of many cases for marketing purposes. A breast case, for example, that, you know, people don't often see. When I document my video of the procedure, a portion of that I could certainly recycle and utilize it for marketing, which is instantly put into Instagram and whatnot. Of course, we always try to do good practices. We always obtain consents from our patient base every time they become a patient. That's just a routine part of the practice. And we also ask them before we do any such postings whether they're also okay. So because the patients trust us and are confident in our office practices and also in our technology, they frequently say yes to such things. And so we use it for those purposes also.
Can you give us an example of how Synplus helps simplify the workflow in a plastic surgery practice?
Since the time of consultation or an appointment that is made, all of the pre-visit process is already done remotely. And what does that actually mean? It means that a patient's demographic information, in some cases insurance information, all of their health history, in many cases their, you know, images, and in some cases videos they are able to do so, are all already done through self-empowerment of the patient, where they do that before they come into the office. That immediately eliminates 70% of the workload off of my office staff. And so what my office staff actually does is deliver patient care, which is why we all became healthcare providers in the first place. So that most of the time, the patients in the office is spent with communication, relationship building, trust building, experience building type of activities versus these nonsensical, mundane, headache-creating, you know, kind of task lists that you have to do that they don't have to do anymore. So patients become empowered, and physicians become empowered, and staff becomes empowered. And moreover, we also educate the patients that the patient app that they use to deliver all this information to us is always accessible to them also. So next time they go to another doctor's office, that same information that they have, that they provided us, is also available to them at any time. So they can utilize it for other purposes all the time. So they have an ongoing log of all of their health data within their pocket. And, you know,
we've talked about, you know, the freedom to make good business decisions as entrepreneurs. We've talked about increasing and simplifying compliance. One of the things that it sounds like Synplus does is it really frees up time, and time is what a resource that an entrepreneur needs in order to grow the enterprise, or, as you said, Dr. Kuzma, to live a better life.
Absolutely true is that time is of essence, and I believe human behavior is going to improve when you make it easier for them to do certain tasks in their life or jobs that they have to do. And the more simple they are and the more direct they are, the better user behavior becomes, and the more compliant people become, and the more engaging people become. And so we have to leverage such tools that are readily available as much as possible to drive that behavior.
Right. So, Dr. Russo, how many years have you been using Synplus now?
A little over 2 years. Before that, I was just doing traditional paper charts, so we really didn't have a great system for documentation. So I think we struggled then, like most physicians are struggling now. And whenever
are you paperless now?
We're essentially paperless now. Yeah, upload everything into Synplus, and we're constantly training our staff to do it better and more efficiently. And we're constantly getting upgrades from Synplus, which makes it faster and easier.
Can you talk about one feature of Synplus, just as an example of how it saved your practice, some of your staff's resources in terms of time?
Yeah, I think, you know, when they're in the room, and for example, when I'm treating a patient, My staff member who's assisting me, and I'm always with a staff member in the patient room, they're actually documenting what I'm doing real time. They're also taking photographs of the patient. They're taking photographs of any kind of markings we make on the patient. So when I'm done seeing this, when I walk out of the room, pretty much everything I've done is already documented. So I don't have to pull charts later and try to remember what I did and dictate and ask myself, how many units did we give that patient or this or that? And they don't have to go and review anything either. It's all done real time. So by the time I leave the room, I'm done, which is tremendously helped facilitate us being much more efficient with our time.
So you get to go home shortly after the last patient leaves instead of sitting there for a couple of hours doing charts.
I guess I could, but I really don't.
So I think that we've given a pretty good overview of how, with technology, you really have a lot of freedom to be entrepreneurial in the field of medical aesthetics, and how Synplast in particular facilitates that and puts these revenue streams within reach of an entrepreneurial plastic surgeon. Allows for referrals in a compliant way without fee splitting from surrounding med spas. Dr. Russo, do you have any last words?
I would just say that it's a transformative technology. I encourage other practitioners to think about this and try it. Freed me up and allowed me to think revenue streams I never could have dreamed of before in a totally compliant fashion. So I can sleep well at night knowing that everything I need is in the palm of my hand, and that my organization is running in a compliant fashion, so none of us are at risk for losing our licenses or losing our practices or anything like that. So I want to thank Dr. Kasuma for being a visionary and creating a system that is really going to be, I believe it's the only system that really makes sense for plastic surgeon practice. And I want to personally thank him for putting all of his time, effort, energies, and basically his life into this. And it's really something that we owe him a great gratitude. Thank you.
I just wanted to let everybody know that Dr. Russo and Dr. Kuzma have authored a book on medical aesthetics geared toward providers who are interested in increasing their revenue streams and getting into the field of medical aesthetics if they're not already participating in it. So that should be out in a month or two. Look for it on Amazon. In parting, Dr. Kuzma, what would you like to share?
Well, first of all, thank you, Marco, and thank you, Dr. Russo. It's always a pleasure to work with you. But I just wanted to say that, we all aspire to live a very sensible, productive, fulfilling life. And I believe very strongly that there's tools available for us to do so. We just have to seek them out. The aspirations such as, freedom, flexibility, engagement, empowerment, and all of these things that we crave in our profession of healthcare, where we, want that relationship building, mechanisms, I think are out there. And we are very proud and happy and grateful to have the opportunity to be part of this this movement that I think is going to transform healthcare right in front of our eyes in the very, very near future. So thank you for having me to share this journey.